Our text this evening is Psalm 28. Psalm 28. A Psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors, while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work, and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, or the work of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Now, we've been saying that Psalm 26, Psalm 27 and 28 reveal David's love for the sanctuary of God. And in Psalm 28, once again, we find David is surrounded by violent evildoers and that he's in great danger. And David is crying out to God for help. And all around him are wicked people, workers of iniquity, and deceptive people who pretend to be David's friends, but they were working against him for his ruin. Now, what is the background of this psalm? What is the background? The time period leading up to Absalom's rebellion, some students of the Bible have said, the time period leading up to Absalom's rebellion could fit the description in the psalm. But the question is, would David ever pray for his own son's destruction? In Psalm 28 verses 4 to 5, we read that prayer of David. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. So David could never have prayed that prayer regarding his own son. And in fact, the scripture records that he actually wanted his son Absalom spared. In 2 Samuel chapter 18 verse 5, we read in 2 Samuel 18 verse 5, and the king ordered Joab and Abishai and Ittai, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave orders to all the commanders about Absalom. But regardless of the background, which we are really not sure of, this psalm actually teaches us some very important lessons about prayer and about patience. Lessons about prayer and patience. The psalm deals with three things. Number one, the problem of unanswered prayer, verses 1 to 5. The problem of unanswered prayer. And many of us go through this struggle of unanswered prayer. Number two, the joy of unbounded praise, verses 6 to 7. And then number three, the promise of undeserved blessing, verses 8 to 9. David had prayed regarding the dangerous situation that surrounded him, but the Lord had not yet answered. So this is the problem of unanswered prayer, which we see in verses 1 to 5. To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy, when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. Give to them according to their work, and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward, because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more." So we hear this cry of David, and God's silence is seen not only here but in many other psalms. In Psalm 13 verse 1 we read, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You see, David is crying out to God, but God seems to be silent, not answering his prayer. Psalm 35 verse 22. Psalm 35 verse 22. "You have seen, O Lord, be not silent, O Lord, be not far from me." Again in Psalm 39 verse 12. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Hold not your peace at my tears. For I am a sojourner with you, a guest like all my fathers." The New King James Version says, "Do not be silent at my tears. Do not be silent at my tears." So sometimes we cry out in agony. We cry out asking God for certain things to happen, but God seems to be so silent. Psalm 40 verse 17. "As for me, I am poor and needy, but the Lord takes thought for me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Do not delay, O my God." Psalm 69 verse 3. "I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God." In other words, when is God going to answer? How long will it take for God to answer? Psalm 109 verse 1. To the choir master, Psalm of David. "Be not silent, O God of my praise. Be not silent, O God of my praise." Then in Psalm 119 verse 82 we read, "My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me?" Looks as though God is silent in prayer. God is not answering. And even through the word, God doesn't seem to be speaking. So here we find the psalmist saying, "My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me?" Now it has often been said, God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. And David was learning this important lesson. And we too need to learn this lesson. When we feel that our prayers are not being answered, and God doesn't seem to be speaking, and God is silent, and God is so distant, we need to remember that God's delays are not God's denials. Psalm 28 verse 1 says, David called on the Lord. And then verse 2 says, David cried to him in desperation. But the Lord did not answer. "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me." Verse 1. It seemed like God, who is the unchanging rock, God who is the unchanging rock, seems to have changed. The Lord is still the rock. He never changes. Psalm 19 verse 14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." My rock and my redeemer. God never changes. He's like the rock. Psalm 31 verses 2 and 3. "Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake you lead me and guide me." The Lord, who is our rock, he is the giver of strength, and he is the one who gives stability in our lives. That is what rock actually means. He is the one who is stable, he is unchanging, he is the one who gives us strength and stability. He is unchanging, and therefore he alone can be trusted. In a changing, transient world, God never changes. But we must walk by faith and not by sight. Just because we don't get immediate answers, we don't see God acting immediately when we ask, just because of that, you know, that means we are walking by sight. You're not walking by faith. The Lord rebukes King Ahaz. King Ahaz of Judah is rebuked by Isaiah the prophet. Ahaz is actually trembling. He's trembling in fear when he hears that the northern kingdom of Israel and Rezin, the king of Syria, they have joined forces to come against Judah. And Ahaz is trembling. And the Lord gives the word to Isaiah to go and tell Ahaz. In Isaiah chapter 7 verse 9, if you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. It's a rebuke. If you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Our faith is in God's word, not in the circumstances that that we see around us. Our faith is in God's word and not in the circumstances that keep changing. God's word tells us that God never changes. God is not fickle in his character like man is. Psalm 62 verse 2. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Was the Lord silent because he could no longer hear or speak? Definitely not. Now we find David, he's lifting his hands in worship. As he prayed toward the sanctuary of God, he lifts his hands in worship. But it seems as though the Lord did not hear him. Psalm 28 verse 2. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. The lifting up of hands is an expression of worship and prayer in surrender to God. And David prayed with expectancy. Lifting up hands is a sign of surrender and expectancy for help. Psalm 63 verse 4. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Psalm 141 verse 2. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You see, when an Old Testament Jew, when he prayed, he didn't fold his hands. He lifted up his hands to God in praise and in expectancy. Moses lifted up his hands in prayer. When Israel fought the Amalekites under the command of Joshua, we read in Exodus chapter 17, Exodus chapter 17 verses 9 to 13. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. So it is so important to be diligent in worship and in intercession. In the book of Lamentations chapter 2 verse 19, you see how important it is for us to be diligent in worship and in intercession, in prayer, in intercession. Especially in troubled times, in times like this, we need to become a people who seek the Lord diligently in praise, worship, in prayer. Lamentations chapter 2 verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Lamentations chapter 3 verses 39 to 41. Why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift our hearts. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven. Lamentations chapter 3 verses 49 to 50. My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. Then in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8 we read, Paul is telling Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 8, I desire then that in every place the men should pray lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. David sincerely lifted up his hands in prayer and worship, but it seems as though God did not see him. But Jehovah is the living God who sees his people. He hears their cry. He is the living God. He speaks His word to them. He is not like the gods of the nations. Psalm 115 verses 2 to 8 describe the gods of the nations. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that He pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. But David now felt like a dead man. He felt like a criminal who was being dragged away with the wicked to be executed. That's how David felt. Psalm 28 verse 3. Do not drag me off with the wicked, with the workers of evil, who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their heart. Who speak peace with their neighbors while evil is in their hearts. These wicked evildoers, they were hypocrites. But David was speaking the truth. These people had no regard for the words of the Lord and the works of the Lord. Psalm 28 verse 4 and 5. Psalm 28 verse 4 and 5. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of His hands, He will tear them down and build them up no more. But David was the servant of the Lord who worshipped Him and prayed diligently, faithfully. According to God's covenant with Israel, David's idolatrous enemies should have been judged and condemned. But the Lord was doing nothing. How could God treat His anointed king like a criminal? Let's not forget that God is sovereign and He has a purpose in everything that He does, including His seeming silence. Remember this. God is sovereign. He has a purpose in everything that He does, including His seeming silence. We must also not forget that the Father allowed His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be unjustly treated like a criminal. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 to 8, we read, Isaiah 53 verses 7 to 8, He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. By oppression and judgment He was taken away. And as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? You see that? Stricken for the transgression of my people. Isaiah 53 verse 12. Therefore I will divide Him a portion with the many, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He poured out His soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Our Lord Jesus referred to this passage. He referred to this passage in Isaiah. In Luke chapter 22 verse 37 we read, Jesus is saying, "For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, and He was numbered with the transgressors. For what is written about me has its fulfillment." David's prayer was not an expression of personal revenge. Let's remember that. His prayer was not an expression of personal revenge. Many people, when they read the book of Psalms, they think like that. David is actually calling for God to fulfill His covenant, His promise, and bring righteousness and peace into the land of Israel for His chosen people, because that is God's covenant with Israel, that God will protect and bless His people if His people obey Him. Suddenly, the scene changes and we find David is singing. He is not sobbing. He is not crying. And the reason is given in Psalm 28 verses 6 to 7. And that's where we see the joy of unbounded praise, worship. Psalm 28 verse 6 to 7. Psalm 28 verse 6 and 7. Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. The hands of the enemy were busy doing evil. Psalm 28 verse 4. Give to them according to their work and according to the evil of their deeds. Give to them according to the work of their hands. Render them their due reward. But look at David. David trusted the Lord and he is lifting up his hands in praise and prayer in worship to the Lord. Psalm 28 verse 2. Hear the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your most holy sanctuary. Then what happened? God's hands went to work and met David at his point of need. Psalm 28 verse 5. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord or the work of his hands, he will tear them down and build them up no more. The New King James Version, the NKJV says, the operation of his hands. The work of his hands, the operation of his hands. He will tear them down and build them up no more. You see, faith moves the hands of God. And God's hands control the universe. Faith moves the hands of God and God's hands control the universe. Then you find David blessed the Lord for the deliverance that God gave. He was never ashamed to confess it. He always praised and thanked God. His testimony is very clear. God heard me and God helped me. I trusted the Lord and now I praise him. That's the summary of verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 28. David now had the strength to obey God's will. No matter what the enemy might do, he had strength that came from God. He also experienced God being his shield. In verse 7 we read, Psalm 28 verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalm 3 and verse 3, But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. Again in Psalm 7 verse 10, my shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. This means that his defense is of God. That's how the NKJV renders Psalm 7 verse 10. My defense is of God. My defense is of God. Psalm 18 verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Again in Psalm 18 and verse 30, Psalm 18 verse 30. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So in this insecure world, in this changing world, in this perilous world, our security is God alone. In a changing, insecure world, God never changes and he is our shield, our protector, our defender. All that we need to do is to walk by faith, not by sight, and simply trust him. Psalm 33 verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Again, Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He is a sun and shield. That means he gives light. In the difficult, dark situations, he is our light. So it says there, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Right in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, we read how God promises Abraham that he would be his shield. Genesis chapter 15 verse 1. Genesis 15 verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham. Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Again in Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like you? Who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help and the sword of your triumph? Your enemies shall come fawning to you, and you shall tread upon their backs. David experienced God's power. He experienced God's power, God's protection, and this experience can also be ours as we trust the Lord and lift our hands to the Lord in sincere prayer and expectation. How beautiful it is to see David turning a painful experience into a song of praise to the Lord. He has left behind a tremendous witness that has encouraged other people, other believers for centuries. Today when we read the psalm, we can see how he turns a painful situation into a song of praise. Today the Lord Jesus has promised eternal security to all those who believe in him. Our security is in Christ. In John chapter 10 verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, John 10 verses 28 to 30, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So we can face life's challenges, the troubles that life brings. We can face the troubles and the trials that life brings with the strength and the confidence that comes from the Lord. He gives us eternal security. Now we might face very trying situations. We don't know what lies ahead. We don't know what the future is like. In our own country, we may face very trying situations and sometimes even persecution. In fact, the church all over the nation is being persecuted. And we may sometimes face persecution because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can be assured of our eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Then we see in Psalm 28 the promise of undeserved blessing. And this is our greatest security. In Christ, we have undeserved blessing. Psalm 28 verses 8 to 9. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Now, David is closing his song and he's encouraging his people by what he had learned from the Lord. Not only would God save his anointed king, but God would also save his people Israel. So they must trust him. David saw the nation of Israel as God's inheritance, meaning God's heritage. Psalm 28 verse 9, the King James Version reads, Psalm 28 verse 9, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Again in Psalm 33 verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage, as his inheritance, as his heritage. The people whom he has chosen as his heritage. Psalm 78 verse 71. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. Speaking about David. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people, Israel his inheritance. Psalm 79 verse 1. A psalm of Asaph. O God, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. Again, Psalm 94 verse 14. For the Lord will not forsake his people. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. God had delivered the nation of Israel from slavery. God had delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt. And he had made them his own inheritance. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 20 we read, But the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace out of Egypt to be a people of his own inheritance as you are this day. But Israel sinned against God by worshipping the golden calf after having experienced the signs that God brought against Egypt. After the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, Israel still provoked God to anger and they worshipped that golden calf. And Moses prayed to God, asking God to forgive his own inheritance. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verses 25 to 26. So I lay prostrate before the Lord for these 40 days and 40 nights, because the Lord had said he would destroy you. And I prayed to the Lord, O Lord God, do not destroy your people and your heritage, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And in Deuteronomy 9, verse 29, same chapter, verse 29, for they are your people and your heritage, whom you brought out by your great power and by your outstretched arm. David saw Israel as God's flock and God's family. Psalm 28, verse 9, O save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. So he saw Israel as God's flock and God's family. The faithful shepherd sometimes has to carry the lambs. Isaiah 40 verse 11. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Though David was the king of Israel, he always saw himself as a shepherd. When he sinned against God by taking a census of the nation. Remember, David sinned against God by taking the census of the nation, which God had not ordained. God brought judgment, and David, he cries out. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 17, then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, behold, I have sinned and I have done wickedly, but these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house. Indeed, the nation of Israel is God's inheritance. He has invested in them spiritual treasures that the spiritually bankrupt world needs. It is through the children of Israel that the Messiah came into the world, and it is through Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, that we have been saved. We find the Apostle Paul telling us how burdened he is for his own fellow Israelites, for his fellow Jews. He is burdened that they be saved. Romans chapter 9 verses 1 to 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. So they were a special people. Jesus told the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 verse 22, you worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Salvation is from the Jews. You see, today many of the Jews in Israel are turning to their Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. God's purposes for his people can never be frustrated. Many Jews are beginning to recognize and accept Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah. The prophecy of Zechariah is beginning to be fulfilled. Of course, there will be a day when it will be completely fulfilled. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps over a firstborn. Jesus the Messiah has promised to build his church,
and the gates of Hades will not prevail against him. God in his mercy has revealed himself to us today, and we, his church, are his inheritance, and he is our good shepherd. He is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. We are his inheritance. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Again in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. By the blood shed for us on the cross, the Lord Jesus shed his blood for us so that we can become partakers of an eternal inheritance. The book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So, let there be the joy of unbounded praise in our lives, and let us remember to diligently lift up our hands in praise, in worship, in prayer, and seek the Lord. And then we will experience the undeserved blessing. He's already blessed us. We are his inheritance, and he is our shepherd. We are the flock. Let us remember to keep our hands clean, not entangled with the lusts of the world that the world has to offer, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Don't get entangled. Don't get conformed to the patterns of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds day by day through the word of God, and offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. Let our hands be lifted up in prayer, in praise, in expectation to receive all of these undeserved blessings. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Amen.